I'm so glad to be back. This is the first time I've been here in chilly weather. I'm always here in the summer. So in spite of the non-sun, it was a nice drive in. And it's great to be with all of you. I want to thank Pastor Luke for the chance to be with you today. I'm going to share a few thoughts today from Psalm 50. We all know what week it is. And when I think about something like Thanksgiving, I didn't really know how to categorize it, I think, when I was younger. But now, I really attach Thanksgiving to thinking. I attach it to my mind. And I'll explain that during this message. But, you know, sometimes we get a little too, as my grandma used to say, a little too big for our britches. Right? And we need healthy reminders of how human we are. So one particular Sunday morning, I spoke to a congregation. And when I finished, I came off the platform and one of the men from the church came up and he said, "Pastor, that was a great message." I said, "Oh, thank you." And he goes, "No, listen, we're trying to get a group of men together. We want to have a powerful event together. And we want someone to come in who can bring the word of God and who can really show our men what it is to be men of God and to lead their families." And kind of in my mind, I'm thinking about my calendar, you know, and he goes, "So if you know someone like that, could you have them give me a call?" I'm not kidding. I'll do my best. But, you know, because sometimes we do think of ourselves a little too highly. But I think really most of the time we think of ourselves too little. I'm not trying to confuse that with humility. I think sometimes our thinking can get a little bit messed up. I have a couple of items that I have in plain view in my apartment every day. I think I've got a picture of it. I think I included it. There they are. This was from the end of my youth ministry days. I was fortunate to be a youth pastor in Parma at what is now called Bethel Christian Assembly of God for 7 years. And the Lord really blessed, and we had some outstanding students who were part of that ministry, and probably about 10 to 15 of them are in ministry today, either as pastors or missionaries, but we have others who are fulfilling their godly call in different realms. I have two filmmakers. I have a pilot, high school teachers, counselors, and just a lot of people in the people helping business. And when I was having my last weekend there, they gave me two things, and they're both in this picture. Because I'm a guy who, I always keep, when people write nice notes or cards, I try to hold on to those, but I didn't really have anywhere to put them. And I had a really elaborate filing system of garbage bags. And it's really beautiful, really gorgeous. And so on my last youth service, they gave me that little treasure chest there on the bottom. It's not so little, actually. And I have that thing filled with pictures and mementos and cards and things like that. And it's there to remind me. Whenever I feel like I haven't done anything right in about 20 years, I pull that open and I realize the faithfulness of God working through my life. And the top thing is a sort of a ceramic bowl filled with rocks. And, you know, the name of the ministry that I've started is called Monumental Ministries. It's based on the Old Testament principle where the people of God would stack rocks or they would build an altar when God did something significant. And this whole ministry is based on facilitating moments like that in people's lives so that we can come back to those landmarks and those rock piles and remember the faithfulness of God. And I used to talk to my students a lot about rock pile moments. God wants to give us rock pile moments. And so on our second tonight, last night together, I met with my leadership team and they put that ceramic bowl in my lap as I sat in a chair. And one by one, each of them started to talk about the difference that I had made in their life. And they had found a rock on our church property, and then they placed it in the bowl. So you can bet I keep that, and I look at it all the time, because I need to remember. And a lot of the Christian life is about remembering. Isn't that what communion is about? It's about remembering. Because the Lord knows, we get amnesia very quickly. And we get a couple of things happen, and we get a second wave of COVID and an election doesn't go our way, and suddenly we're wondering, is God asleep at the switch? Or we have a couple of things hit us personally. We have some financial losses. We have a relational loss. We have something unexpected that happens in our house, a major repair, and we're like, God, where are you? And I think God has given us a wonderful tool to be able to keep our minds fertile and focused on God. And I believe that tool is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not just a holiday, folks. It is a lifestyle. It is actually a spiritual discipline that the Lord has provided for us. It's something that we need to wear on our tool belt and use daily because it really improves our thought life. How many of you know our minds are under constant assault? And the enemy wants to use events and situations to try to just nudge us in the wrong direction one way or another and get us thinking the wrong things about God. And we live our daily lives off of information. Information about ourselves. Information about God. And that data that fills our minds will go from perception to reality. So I think it's incumbent upon us to rely on accurate biblical information. And I wonder how many Christians are going through their daily lives living under faulty data. They're living under wrong information. Their minds have long been entrenched with false information about the Lord, about themselves, about their family, and their church. I mean, what kinds of thoughts just run through our mind uninterrupted? You know that little autoplay that's going on up here? What's going through your head when you're getting cleaned up in the morning? What kinds of things are filling our mind? And I'm convinced that for some Christians, the enemy only has to pay just scant attention to us because our minds are on this ominous autopilot. What kinds of things are we telling ourselves as we're just driving around or into work? What phrases fill our brain when we're just showering or when we're going through the daily stuff? What thoughts prevail when we're interacting with friends and with family? I mean, with all my heart, I believe if God can do a work within the minds and the thoughts of the people of God, it will transform us and it will transform others. Amen. So the Lord has given us this wonderful tool of thanksgiving. There are a lot of places in the Bible I could choose to go, but I chose to go to Psalm 50, and we're starting at verse 7. O my people, listen as I speak. Here are my charges against you. This sounds very prophetic, doesn't it? I am God, your God. I have no complaint about your sacrifices or the burnt offerings you constantly offer, but I do not need the bulls from your barns or the goats from your pens. For all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird on the mountains, and all the animals of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for all the world is mine and everything in it. Do I eat the meat of bulls? Do I drink the blood of goats? Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God and keep the vows you made to the Most High. Then call on me when you are in trouble and I will rescue you and you will give me glory. I want to just briefly this morning talk about the discipline of thanks. Thanksgiving, I think, accomplishes many things within us. And maybe you've never thought of it to this level. But I want to detail three specific things that Thanksgiving accomplishes in our life. Number one, it annihilates our chains of the past. Now, we all love Paul's words in Philippians 3 when he says, forgetting what is behind. But he certainly was not speaking about forgetting what God has done in the past. We're never to forget that. I mean, we serve a God who wants us to remember the victories and savor them long after they have passed. And I think if there's one thing the American Pentecostal Church does not do well, it's celebrate victories. We're so kind of quickly on to the next thing that we really don't take the proper time to have a party over what God just did. I think we do that collectively as a church, and I think we do that individually, by the way. Sometimes we just blur right past the miraculous provision of God, and we move on to the next item on our list. But when I read Scripture, I see where God, I think, wants us to have a celebration ethic. We cannot forget what He has done, and celebrations like what we're going to have on Thursday help us to remember. Think of the children of Israel when they crossed the Red Sea and when God miraculously, they were caught between a rock and a hard place. And here they were with this gigantic body of water, and here comes Egypt. And there's nowhere to go. And if you remember the scriptures, the Lord instructs Moses to stand still. Oh, we're so good at that, aren't we? Isn't that our strength? Because we're always saying, don't just stand there, do something. Right? And the Lord is saying, don't just do something, stand there. Boy, it's hard for us because we feel like I should be doing something. And they stood still and they saw the miraculous provision of God. And you know what they did not do? They weren't like, wow, that was awesome, wasn't it? Wasn't it? Okay, let's go. They stopped for a while and they feasted and they partied and they danced and they wrote songs. They made a big occasion out of it because that was something to remember. And folks, I think when God really does a thing in our life, we just need to stop and celebrate. When God comes through in some way, hey, when you go back for your regular checkup and you get the clean bill of health, celebrate it. Go out and have some carbs. That's it. That's not scripture. That's just me. That's my way of coping. But when we have faulty data, we spend our lives in the pursuit of achievement instead of the pursuit of God. And those two are not the same. We're trying to prove somebody wrong from 20 years ago rather than living as if God has already set things right within us. Thanksgiving reminds us of that. Because sometimes there are Christians who walk around thinking they're second-class citizens. They think they've been rejected by God, that He loves them, but He doesn't like them very much. And they look around and they see everybody else getting blessed. And they wonder what day of school they missed. And that's because they're living under faulty data. What changes that? Thanksgiving. When we start to recite the faithfulness of God verbally, can I just add this? This is not something we think. This is something we say and speak. There is something about hearing ourselves proclaim the faithfulness of God that makes our faith rise, and it causes those chains of rejection that we've been wearing for too long to break. Anyone in the room who believes they're just on some discount bargain basement pile in God's department store, I want to tell you, it's time to start thanking Him, because we've got wrong data going on in our heads. Thanksgiving breaks those chains. It annihilates those chains of rejection that we have carried for far too long. Boy, bad thinking can really paralyze us. I remember one time when I was youth pastoring, we had a Sunday night healing service. And we had been kind of pumping it for weeks. And we called people forward. And there were about five of us pastors on staff. We had a larger church. And I remember a woman came up to me and she's like, "Pastor, will you pray for me?" And of course. So I did. And I prayed the prayer of faith over her. And I finished and we both kind of went our separate ways and I started praying for more people. And about 20 minutes later, I noticed the same woman had gone to another pastor. And he was praying over her and she crumpled to the floor. And the enemy said, "See, nothing happens when you touch them." And I would love to tell you, with all my biblical training and ministerial experience, that I just swatted that thing away. I didn't touch another person in prayer for 8 months. That's what bad thinking can do to us. It can paralyze us. It can get us to believe lies, to believe we're rejected. Thanksgiving breaks the chains and the bondages of rejection that we have felt or maybe now feel. There is something powerful that happens when we recite the faithfulness of God. There's a reason why back in the day we used to sing that wonderful old hymn, Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. Name them. Because we need to remember. Thanksgiving helps us to do that. Here's the second thing Thanksgiving accomplishes. It calibrates our perspective of the present. It calibrates our perspective of the present. And our perspective can be so grossly thrown out of alignment by unexpected events or great challenges. But I would say more likely, our perspective gets out of whack just from the day-to-day stuff. Just from the, why did the tire go flat? Just from the, oh, that ridiculous clothes washer, why don't stop making these demonic noises? You know what I mean? I mean, just that. It's the drip, drip, drip of everyday living that can slowly, 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 slowly move us off course. But I want you to know that Thanksgiving hits the reset button for our lives. And it helps us to realize how good we now have it. I think we have a video that says that pretty well. But we sometimes need that reset button that only Thanksgiving can provide, because we sometimes forget how blessed we are. Let's give her a roll here.
Lord, I'm struggling. Show me what I have to be thankful for. Lord, I'm struggling. Show me what I have to be thankful for.
That really says a lot, doesn't it? Thanking God calibrates us according to the Word of God and reminds us of what's eternally true. He's the boss, I'm not. He's the provider, I can't. Ultimately, it isn't about me. And thank God for that. Maybe the greatest enemy of Thanksgiving is anxiety. It's a word that's become so commonplace in our culture. I think anxiety, the best definition I've ever heard, anxiety is the not being fully present. in any situation. In other words, I'm in church right now, but my mind is, and I'm thinking about the bill that's coming due this week, or I'm thinking about how we're going to pull Thanksgiving together. How are we going to handle all the people coming and health and COVID, and it's not being fully present. And we're seeing that in increasing levels. It's kind of a love for the hypothetical, for the what might happen, or for the exaggeration of current events to an exponential degree. Boy, technology does not help us at all in this. You know, just recently, one of my closest friends, we were scheduled, he was going to come over to my house on a Friday, and he texted me to say, I'm not going to be able to make it this Friday. And so I texted him back, and I said, how about the next Friday? And then 24 hours went by, and he didn't respond. And now, I don't know what your mental faculties are like, but I started to get a little bit nervous. And I started to wonder, well, maybe he doesn't want to come here at all. And maybe, you know, maybe he's been secretly like not enjoying coming here, but doesn't know how to tell me. And now I'm like forcing him into a corner, and now he doesn't know what to say. And this could be a really big deal. This could like kill our friendship. Finally, I texted him the next day, and I texted him, if you were mad at me, you'd say something, right? And he texted back, oh man, I'm sorry, I just forgot. I just forgot to text back. Yeah, next Friday's fine. Isn't it something? And anxiety always feels like it's right at our door. Technology is actually sort of making that happen in a lot of ways. Our minds can get so out of control so quickly. On a more serious level, let's just say that maybe come tomorrow morning or this week, we find out that we no longer have a job. A lot of people have been finding that out this year. It is in a moment like that when I think Thanksgiving calibrates us to biblical thinking, and we sort of stop and we step back from it. And rather than reaching for anxiety or panic, or if we initially do, we drop it as quickly as possible. And we come back to the truth and we realize, okay, this isn't the first job I've ever had. This is probably not going to be the last job. So God is just going to have to bless me with another job. Because that's what he does. Because we just sang a song about him being a waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Amen. And if we really believe that is who he is, then when those moments come, we start thanking the Lord. We'll say, well, Lord, thank you for the opportunity I've had at this job. I don't know what's coming next, but I refuse to bathe in panic. And Lord, I'm just going to thank you because I know you're reliable. To put it simpler, the God who did still will. The last thing that Thanksgiving accomplishes, it anticipates God's blessing in the future. Now, maybe you've never thought of this in regards to Thanksgiving, because we always think of Thanksgiving as looking back. Thank you for that and that, what happened, and which is great. We've talked about that. But there's a future element to Thanksgiving. I think another enemy to the mind of believers is dread. It's that subtle but powerful enemy to our thinking. I think in 2020, that's been one of the biggest foes we've had. I'm just to the point where I wince when I just turn on the news. It's like I'm about to get a shot every day. And I just go, okay, just do it quick, you know. And then you hear the dramatic music, dum, 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 3 bazillion COVID cases today, you know. And you go, oh, I shouldn't have done that, you know. And it's just dread. It was just this dread. It just overwhelms us. And in our fear of disappointment, sometimes we can fall into that continual trap. And I know I've said it too. You'll hear us say, I'll anticipate the worst but hope for the best. The problem is if you're anticipating the worst or you're at least planning for the worst, we're kind of holding on to something we shouldn't. And I realize we don't want to get caught unaware. We don't want to get surprised by anything. But sometimes in our preparation for the worst, we get deluged with the worst. And then there's no room for the best. And I think thanksgiving opens the door to godly expectation. I think, when is the last time we truly had godly expectation for something? When was the last time we woke up on a Sunday morning with the anticipation that God will be meeting us today in this room? When was the last time we just woke up on a Monday morning and rather than being filled with, I don't know what's coming, but we say, God, I don't know what lies ahead, but I know you are with me. No matter what. When was the last weekday that began with a sense of expectation that God had an adventure for us that day? I mean, we will live our lives up or down to our level of expectation. When I was the state youth director, I remember talking with two youth pastors in one particular week. One thought anything was possible through the students in his youth ministry. One, not so much. And the one who really was believing in his students had been prepping them for a big missions night on a Wednesday night, and he had me come in and speak that particular evening. And his students that night brought in $6,500 for Speed the Light, which is one of our missions arms in the Assemblies of God. And I was telling another youth pastor that story about a day or two later, and he said, you know, I don't think my kids could ever do that. Do you think they can? And I said, not until you think they can. Some of us have had our thinking imprisoned by circumstance. We can't remember the last time we looked forward to anything. But thanksgiving opens those doors. Thanksgiving reminds us of God's track record. Folks, aren't you glad that God isn't the stock market? He's up 3,000 today and down 4,000 the next. He performs consistently outstanding every day. He is the definition of reliability. I'm tired of crossing my fingers and just hoping for the best. We are betting on a winner in him because he's already won. Because the work is finished. And I think the prosperity people have kind of robbed this from us a little bit. And in our desire to kind of stay away from that whole thing, sometimes we've thrown out the proverbial baby with the bathwater. I think we sort of need to adopt a new motto for our lives. God has great things in store for me. That is not a braggadocious statement. That is a statement that relies upon the goodness and faithfulness of God. That whatever he deems is good in my life, that makes it great. Doesn't mean we won't have challenges. Doesn't mean we won't have adversity. But it means that God is the author of my story. That means there's going to be conflict. But it also means it's going to be victory. I need to let him hold the pen and write the story. That's not my job, is to grab it from him and say, no, Lord, let's have about three chapters of really boring. Because I could just use some boring right now. I know a lot of us are like, we're hoping 2021 is the most boring year we've ever had in our life. I've told folks, New Year's Eve parties are going to be unlike anything you've ever seen this year. But it's that sense that no matter what happens, nothing and nobody is going to steal the joy of the Lord from me. Nothing will stop God from coming through. So folks, I want you to realize that God will use you to bring people to Christ in the next 12 months. God will bless you and your family. God will break bondages and addictions in our lives and in the lives of those we love. God will bring a new creativity and vitality to our life as we allow him access. God will answer prayer. God will come through. God will heal someone you pray for. God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God has great things in store for me. Are we tired of just surviving as Christians? Are we sick of being on the outside looking in at somebody else getting blessed? God wants to remind us of how blessed we are. So here's how we're going to wrap up today. This shouldn't be a surprise. In a moment, we're going to be playing some music, and I'm going to ask all of us in this room, me included, to have a season of thanksgiving. I know it's always awkward. Do you do the big table thing on Thursday? And you go around, and what are you thankful for? And you feel like you've got to come up with something really like creative and novel, you know? You don't have to do that. Because the Lord loves every word that's about to come out of your mouth. And if you got to start with the list that you saw in the video, that's a great place to start. And I want you to hear yourself thank the Lord. And as you do, if you have thought yourself to be second class in the kingdom of God, I want those chains to be broken in Jesus' name. If you're filled with anxiety about the present, let God calibrate you again and line you up perfectly with His word so that you know, doesn't matter, God's got me. And it's an anticipation of, even though I don't know what's coming, I know who God is and I know He will be there. I will be with Him. He will be with me. So right now, could you just close your eyes for a moment as we just start to play some music? And I want you just to think about how beautiful and wonderful the Lord is. Jesus, I want to thank You for salvation, full and free. Thank You, Jesus. And whenever you're ready to go, just start thanking the Lord. Jesus, thank You for dying on a cross for me. Thank You, Lord, for loving me so much that You left Your place in heaven. And You thought we were worth it. Out of Your great love, not out of obligation, but out of love, You came and dwelled among us and lived a life without sin so that we could be sitting in this room today with hands lifted and saying, Lord, Your faithfulness is great. Thank You for Your love for us. Lord, thank You for healing our bodies. Thank You for touching us. Lord, we know that there are many who are sick these days, but Your healing is great. Lord, You are above COVID-19. Jesus, we thank You for the healing touch of the Lord that is greater. By Your stripes, Lord, we are healed. Thank You, Lord, for the people in our life. Thank You for blessing us with our spouse, with our children, with our parents, with our friends, with our pastors, with our leaders, with the people who watch over us and help us in this life, our mentors. Lord, we thank You that You saw fit to intersect them into our life. Thank You, Lord, for this church. Thank You for a place that we can come together and worship in one accord with people that we care about and people that we love. Thank You for Pastor Luke and his family. I pray that You would bless them. Thank You for giving him the energy and the creativity to lead this congregation. Thank You, Lord, for this country. Lord, we're so grateful to be living in America. Lord, no nation is perfect, but I am so glad that I live here. Thank You, Lord, for the freedoms that we enjoy. Thank You, Lord, for the freedoms we enjoy in the kingdom of God. Thank You that resurrection power resides within us, that the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in me. Lord, right now, break chains of rejection today. If we have thought ourselves to be cursed or somehow laid aside in God's kingdom, we speak against it in Jesus' name, because You are faithful and good. You are anxious, Lord. You are a good Father who gives good gifts to His children. Lord, if we ask You for one thing, You don't turn it around and give us scorpions. Lord, You are so good to give over and above, to do exceedingly above all that we can ask or imagine according to the power that works within us. Thank You, Lord, for our employment, for our income, for a way to sustain our life. Thank You for shelter. Thank You for the peace that passes all understanding. Then in the midst of whatever's going on in our country and in our world, Lord, You're able to help us live at a higher level. Only You could do that, Lord. Bathe our minds. Calibrate us with the thinking of the Word of God. Lord, just scrub our minds clean so that our minds are stayed upon You. You will give perfect peace to those whose minds are stayed on You. Jesus, thank You. Thank You for Your faithful, great love. Help us, Lord, to have a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Lord, in the moment, if something happens and a car accident is avoided, we just stop and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. Help us to remember all of your blessings and all of your faithfulness. Now, Jesus, I pray for this congregation. I ask that this week, that they'll be able to have a wonderful opportunity, maybe with someone who in their family who doesn't know you personally. And Lord, it may not be a recitation of Scripture, but maybe it'll be us living out Scripture. And just to talk about how faithful you've been through all this, and we can just tell our story. And maybe someone will hear that, someone who is living in complete panic of COVID, someone who politically is so filled with anxiety they can't even function. Lord, right now, people need to see believers in Christ who are steadfast. And that won't happen unless we're thanking you and realizing how blessed we are. We refuse, Lord, to let earthly circumstances determine our spiritual health. It doesn't matter who the president is. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You have done an eternal work in my life that cannot be taken away by any political party. Lord, keep my mind focused on those things, on those eternal things. Lord, you are higher and greater than those things. And I pray that that would pervade our thinking. And I ask that you would give us that sense that God has great things in store for me. Lord, let us be willing to even say it by faith, that God has great things in store for me. Jesus, thank you for writing us into your story. I pray that you will give us a really wonderful holiday filled with love and filled with peace. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, Lord bless you.